Glad we are together today. Glad we are together at Friendship. Glad God provided this church for us. An awesome location. Roxanne's glad that I'm preaching because that means I shaved. So it's all a good thing. But in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for everything. They even wrote a song about it back, well, I think it was like in the 70s, I think. This is so true. A prime example of it is this Friday, kids, teenagers, teachers, workers all went back to school. Summer vacation was done. And you might not have a kid of your own. You didn't send Johnny or Susie out the door, you know, with a little backpack, you know, to school. But you might know of a teacher or a worker or a kid or a niece, nephew, somebody that went to school. And we went from a summer that was abnormal, unique, shocking in this community, one that changed this community probably forever. Now we're going straight into the school year. So on Friday, some students entered the door for the very first time. They walked into the door and they're like, yay! And then some students entered the door for the first last time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for every single person that's in here. I thank you for the people that couldn't make it today for whatever reason. I pray, Lord, that whatever comes out of my mouth will be your mouth, will be your words. And I pray, Lord, that you just open our hearts and our minds, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So with going back to school, one of the biggest frustrations, one of the biggest things, especially as a parent, is the dreaded supply list. You get the supply list, and it's horrible. They, like, you know, 5 notebooks, 6 this, 7 this, whatever. It's crazy. You got to deal with all, you know, no matter what grade. I even found a middle school one. No matter what grade, you have a list. And this is from West Sioux, mind you. I think every school has one. You got to get glue sticks, ink pens, notebooks. Some even require calculators for math. You know, thanks to Mr. Nuck back in the day. But then you got to go to the dreaded stores, you know, Target, Walmart, whatever, and you got to fight your way through the aisles, you got to fight your way and grab stuff and realize half the stuff's missing because you got there too late and you're shopping like 2 days before school starts, which that's never good. But here's some crazy facts about school shopping. Is Americans spent $135 billion for back-to-school and back-to-college shopping in 2023. The average household budgeted $890 for back-to-school shopping in 2023, but they spent about $1,400. One child back-to-school supplies cost about $597. That's kind of average. That's a lot of money on school supplies. That's a lot of forking out a lot of cash for pencils and notebooks and glue sticks, whatever, that either the kid will destroy in a week or they'll never ever use the whole year. So it's not fun. But today I'm not going to bore you and go into tons of details about mechanical pencils or calculators or read you this list. This is not going to be my sermon of reading you this list. We're going to be talking about a supply list, but it's going to be the essentials in the Christian relationship and a Christian walk. Unlike school, if you get to school, if you don't have pencils or paper, you can borrow it, right? You can borrow it from a teacher. But here with this list that I'm giving you today, you can't borrow it. It's got to be personal. It's got to be on you. It's got to be with you. And it's got to make you, and this list will help you be better with Jesus, be more fruitful and loving and kind. The first and most important supply we have is salvation. Salvation is like the backpack that holds our lives together, and without it, everything falls apart. So what is salvation? Glad you asked. Online dictionary defines salvation as preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. This definition coincides so well to what Jesus did for us. Jesus delivered us from harm, ruin, loss, and so much more. I could go on and on and on. The list would be huge. Majority of the time, it's our own doing, this loss or this destruction or this sin that we're causing. Jesus provided salvation, not for me, not for Paul, not for certain people that had the whole list, but for everybody. All around the world. By going to the cross, suffering, dying for our sins, our mistakes, our wrongdoings, then rising again 3 days later, out of the tomb, defeating the grave and death. A perfect man for an imperfect world. Jesus, like I said, is for everyone, past, present, future. No matter who you are, what background you are, what nationality you are, what grade you're in, salvation's for you. He died and delivered you from eternal separation. It says in one of the most well-known, famous books in the verses in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Not perishing sounds wonderful, doesn't it? I don't want to be on that side of it. But have eternal life, a relationship with the one who created the world, the heavens, the stars, the trees, the grass, is amazing. So what do we have to do to receive this salvation, this saving? You have to believe in Christ, in Jesus, in God's one and only Son to have salvation. In Romans 10:9, it says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Now, this is not a quiet matter. This is not where you squeak it out. This is one of the most important things on the list. So you want it to be known. Jesus, when you accept Jesus and have him forgive you for your sins, you want to proclaim it. You want to let people know. Now, there isn't a standard prayer. There isn't a formal prayer. There isn't like, hey, if you don't say these certain words, you're not going to get into heaven, or you're not going to have salvation, or whatever. But all you got to do is pray something like this to Jesus. "I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were buried and rose 3 days later. I know you love me, and only you can guide me and direct my life. Please come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Amen." If you prayed this prayer for the first time or something like it, or you prayed it again because you want to get your life focused back on Christ, then I'm sure one of the elders would love to hear about it. They want to know that stuff. They want to know when you say yes to Jesus. They want to know when you've recommitted your life. So after this service, run them down, talk to them, let them know. Because the church wants to know. We want to celebrate with you. It says that angels in heaven are rejoicing if you say yes to Christ. The second thing on the list has already been mentioned, kind of foreshadowing. Remember, God so loved the world? Love is the second quality, second thing on the list to have in our lives, and it should be overflowing. In a world filled with so much hatred and this nastiness, they could really use the example of Jesus' love. I know we all have that neighbor, we all have that person we work with, we all have that relative, that one uncle, you know. It's hard to love certain people. But to be Christ-like, we should love, care for them, be there for them, and not be quick to throw a stone at them when we see them do something wrong. We should love them. Actually, Jesus commanded us to love others. A command is a direct order. When I was in the military, they gave you a command, you did it. You didn't go, no, you did it. It's not a suggestion. It's not how you're feeling at that time. It's a direct order. This is brought up in John 13, 34 through 35. It says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So if you love people, if you love each other, it will show people that you are Christ-like. Because if you go around and say you are a Christian and you have salvation, but you hate people, you're mean to people, then it's totally the opposite. Here's a couple more to show the importance of loving people. 2 John 1:6 says, "Love means doing what God has commanded us, and He has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning." Then in 1 John 3:11 says, "This message you have heard from the beginning, we should love one another." So the second thing is love. It's first thing, salvation. Second thing is loving, being loving, love. So the third thing on the list, forgiveness. That's tough, right? That's even tougher than love. It's easy to love people sometimes, but it's hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive people that wronged you or did you wrong or caused you problems or said something about you. In our relationship with Christ, our goal, if we are a Christian, if we have salvation, our goal is to become more Christ-like. We are supposed to show the love of Jesus, as I talked about before, and one of those things, how you show love, is through forgiveness. Forgiveness is an intentional act. So, sometimes you will forgive someone when they won't forgive you back if you did something wrong. And sometimes you will forgive someone that kind of doesn't deserve it, but you still need to forgive them anyway. Think of it this way. If Jesus can forgive the people who were killing him and forgive us for all that we've done, I think we can try to forgive the person that maybe cuts us off in traffic or does other things to us. For example, Jesus and Peter had a great conversation about this in Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Does that mean we're supposed to carry around a calculator or a tablet or something or our phone on the notes section and keep, "Oh, I forgave him once, I forgave him twice"? Once you get to a certain number, you're good, and you don't have to forgive him no more? No, that's not what it means. It means you're supposed to, as a Christian, forgive people. Keep forgiving people. I like how this author put it. Said, "The extra cool thing about forgiveness is that it's only in your enemy's best interest that we forgive them. Thus, show them God's grace. But it's also in our best interest." He goes on and says, "When we forgive, we experience relief and freedom from pain like never before. God heals us of our wounds by showing us they are His to carry, and we can rest in the knowledge that in all things, God works for the good of those who love and who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. So we got salvation, we got love, we got forgiveness. We got two more items on our supply list. Our supply list is short. We're not like West Sioux and give you 50 items. Each school year, if you go into West Sioux and you go in and they ask for your name and you're like, you know, Joshua, Gregory, whatever, and they hand you the folder. And then they'll tell you, hey, don't forget to look at the handbook. And whether that's online or whether that's a paper copy, they'll tell you, don't forget to look at the handbook. Now, the handbook is about how you should behave at school, like on trips, at games, tells you what the dress code, bell changes, classes you need to take to graduate, and a lot more. It's pretty much the same situation with God's Word, the Bible. It teaches us about salvation, love, forgiveness, which we've talked about. Plus, it tackles so many more topics. History, the story of Jesus, the early church, Holy Spirit, etc. Once again, I could go on and on and on. I know no one in here or their student they attend or anybody they know has that handbook memorized or goes home every day and reads that handbook. But that's the opposite of the Bible. We're supposed to read God's Word. We're supposed to memorize it. We're supposed to look at it. The book was inspired by God, written by man. We're supposed to use it to guide our thoughts, our actions, our lives. In 2 Timothy, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. It's a manual for our lives. Think about a manual for a car or one of those crazy like things. If you get a piece of furniture and you put it together, it tells you how to do it step by step. That's what the Bible is. It's not a coffee table book. It's not something you just toss on the table and it collects dust. We need to use this as teachers, students, and the church and ourselves to guide us daily. Everybody needs to use it because it's live and powerful, according to Hebrews 4:12. So we have salvation, we have love, we have forgiveness, we have God's Word, the Bible. Now we've reached the end of our list. The final item. Let me caveat this with there's so many other things I could have put on this list. I could have wrote in this list. I mean, there's so many other topics, so many other things, so many other, you know, things you could put on the list like this. One, the sermon could be like 3 hours long, and you'd start throwing hymnals at me or Bibles at me or whatever. But this is what I feel like God's directed me to put on here and tell you about. Prayer is communicating with our Savior, telling him about our wants and needs, our ups, our downs, our praising him, telling how amazing he is because he saved us. That's prayer, which is our final item on the list. We pray when we accept him into our lives. We pray to him when we need more patience to love and to forgive people. We pray to him that reveals himself to us through his holy word. We pray to him for his Holy Spirit to come and to help us do amazing things. Prayer is vital to our walk in school, life, church, home, job. List, once again, could go on and on. When God's people pray, things happen. not because of us, not because we're here in this building, not because the prayer came from a famous preacher, but because of the power of God. Sometimes it is even the words we say. Did you know that if I pray a prayer one way, God's going to hear it and could answer it or will answer it? And if Wayne prays a prayer one way, God will hear it and he will answer it and he will respond. And I could be praying with all of these, thous, this is, hallelujahs, whatever, and Wayne couldn't. And God's still going to listen to both of us. It doesn't matter. Many people in the Bible and throughout history have prayed over things and through things, and miracles have occurred. In Philippians 4, it says, in 4:6-7, I think it's the one I just read you, it says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, I think I did this, I can't remember when because I can't find the sermon, but I did this a while back where I went down a list and I was like, okay, we're going to pray for these items. And this is what we're going to do today. We're going to go down the list and we're going to pray for certain items that has to deal with the mantra, the under the umbrella of school. And I'm going to say the topic kind of a little with it, and then I'll ask the person to pray. Pretty simple. We won't be here long. Depends on how long they pray. Once again, you can pray short, you can pray long. God's still going to hear you and bless you and answer you. So the first thing pray about is Paul's going to pray for school administration and the school board. Pray that they have a good year. God gives them wisdom and they can lead well. The next thing we're going to pray for is, Wayne's going to pray for this, is teachers and employees at the school. Pray that they have a good year, patience with the students, and that they can teach them well. Amen. Next, Roxanne's going to pray for the students. Pray that they have a great year, that they have fun, that they learn well, and they show love towards others. Amen. Next, I'm going to pray for the students in the school, employees that were affected by the flood. I'm going to pray that they adjust, that they're adjusting well, and that it won't affect their school year. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your provision, for watching over everyone in this community, especially the ones that were affected by the flood, the students and the staff. So many of them are living in different homes and dealing with different things and wondering if they're going to get supplies or clothing or whatever it may be. I pray, Lord, that you just watch over them. I pray, Lord, that anxiety won't be high with either the students or the staff because of it. I pray, Lord, that they can still do well. And I pray, Lord, that they can just still continue to have an awesome year in whatever they want to do, whether it's academics, sports, whatever it is, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the teachers can teach well. And I pray, Lord, that you just watch over them, and that I pray, Lord, that the community can still support them throughout the year, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Next, Pam's going to pray for the parents. Pray that they can have some quality time with their children. Be aware of what's going on, like with their grades and stuff like that. Support their child and the school when necessary. Final topic is Brittany's going to pray for our church. She's going to pray that can be a light into this community throughout the school year and beyond. Pray that we can support the students, teachers, and parents, and etc.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you all for praying. So that's our list. That's what you have. You don't have glue. You don't have rulers. You don't have pencil sharpeners. You have salvation. You have love, forgiveness, God's holy word, and prayer. The question is that which thing on the list are you lacking? Do you need to get a little more of? That's my question to you. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that we can worship in your house, that we can come together as friendship, that we can just be here and feel your presence, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the words today. I thank you, Lord, that we can pray together for the schools, for the students. I just pray, Lord, that you give us all good years, good summers. Next summer, just watch over us. Just be with us. Let us, if any of us are worried about our salvation, we figure that out. If any of us are low in the love tank or the forgiveness tank, that you help us build that up. I pray, Lord, that if some of us are a little rusty in reading our Bible, that we start on that. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us pray more, because you hear and you listen to us. I thank you, Lord, for being a merciful God and for a God that saves, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming. Try to stay cool today.